Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
And today we have a very funny, very special guest, Miss Angela Johnson.
Hello! Thank you. I'll join in on my own applause.
Yeah, I like you.
Make it sound like there's a lot of people.
Points for you, one of the funniest gals out there.
Oh, thanks, friend.
Completely. And also, I mean, I'm not... I know a lot of comedians via Theo, but I also have recognized you from the talk.
Oh, I just did one, a little guest co-host the other day. That was fun. I had never done it before, so it was, I was a little nervous about
it.
Right,
I'm sure.
But it was fine. It was, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, wait, are we going to try to get in a fight or something?
Yeah, I was
like, but then it's not Real Housewives or like one of those shows. So I was like, oh, I think it's fine.
Right.
But it was fine. Then nobody tried to like argue or anything. I get nervous in those situations.
I would too. I want to know like who's the, I mean, like, yeah, was there cool? A bitch and who was cool?
They were all nice. I did it one time. They were all sweet to me and I loved it. I loved it.
All right.
But are you saying that just because you hope to get to go back on there, or are you saying that because?
No, I liked them all. I genuinely was a fan of all of them. Hmm. Nobody was a jerk to me. Nobody played the diva card.
Did you have any nerves about someone being like that, or even all of them being like that, or that you would just be afraid to speak? Like, what were some of like your specifically? What were you kind of nervous about? I'm just kind of curious because that's a big thing. Like, you're going into somebody's totally other world.
Yeah. Yes. So my biggest fear was that we would talk about something that I was uncomfortable with.
Ooh.
And I wouldn't know how to chime in or not chime in without it looking awkward. But thankfully, all the topics were just fine. Like, I don't ever, in my act, I don't ever dive into politics or anything like that. So I was like, oh my gosh, watch today be the day they want to talk about something Donald Trump did. I was like, oh my God, I really don't want to talk politics. But we really just talked about Usher's herpes and things like that. So
does Usher have herpes? Yeah.
Allegedly.
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 Passed it on to a few.
Really?
Allegedly.
A few thousand, I'm wondering.
We don't know.
Usher's apparently notorious for being like a ringmaster of like sexual like deviance and parties and stuff.
Really?
That's what I always have heard. I mean,
no, that's R. Kelly.
Yeah.
No. Well, I think R. Kelly is sort of the lion tamer of the group. But if one of them is Barnum, one of them is Bailey. Because
yeah.
I mean, you hear about Justin Bieber having gone to like all these parties that Usher would take him to.
Did I give you a point?
When he was growing up, like Bieber would go to these parties that Usher would take him to, and like where he learned about like all this stuff about women. Yeah, there's some interviews and stuff out there about it.
Okay.
But I'm sure.
All right.
Where do we find? Look specifically for a Bieber interview or an Usher interview on that one?
Or maybe this doesn't exist.
I mean, what do you think, dude?
I know you.
What do you mean? You don't think Usher's having extravagant parties over the years with hundreds of women at him? Are you out of your mind? I've been invited to you've been at shady parties where half the room ends up in an orgy in the back.
Yeah, but Usher wasn't there.
Huh?
That's crazy.
Usher wasn't there. Yeah, because he was having the better party. You weren't even at the best party.
You were at the B-list orgy party.
That's the story of my life
for
sure.
Like how that's mesmerizing to you when you're the one who I hear half the shit from.
So anyway.
Sorry, Usher.
So we're going to talk
about
politics
about you.
Tonight.
This is about Angela
Johnson.
Okay.
No, but it was a cool experience, huh? Doing the talk.
Yeah, I liked it. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
I'd do it again. It was fun. It was cool. I want to act more than anything, though. More than do a talk show, I want to act. Like, my dream when I first moved to Hollywood, I was like, I want to play a rape victim on Law & Order SVU.
Right.
That was goals on goals.
High standards.
Even though they film in New York, I didn't know that. I was just like, Hollywood, that's where it all goes down. I'm going to play rape victim on Law & Order SVU, and I'm going to meet, you know, Mariska Hargitay, Detective Olivia Benson, and we're going to be best friends. And 14 years later, I still haven't been on the show.
And the show's still on. That's hysterical.
And it's still on.
That's crazy because everybody else has been on the show.
I know. Dang it.
Even Anthony, our new associate producer, has been a rape victim on the show.
Dang it.
So
I remember I tuned in one time and I saw this kid from Vine. Mm-hmm. He was like Vine famous was on the show. And I almost slipped my wrist at that point. I said, that's it. Forget it.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
Are you hiring right now? Do you want to know where to post your job to find the best candidates for that job?
Where should I go?
Well, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Instead of going from one to the next, ZipRecruiter handles it all. Their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day.
That's amazing. So you say you need somebody to fill a position or a few positions. You put it out there. ZipRecruiter does all the dirty work, and then they send you back candidates within one day.
And then you simply screen, rate, and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Yep. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free.
That's right, free.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly. One more time.
ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly. Try it. It's free. You'll love it.
Back to the show. I think Theo knows the story, but I was accidentally part of a Law and Order thing once when I got into I was in a cab in New York.
Wait, this is real Law and Order? Had a run-in with a law.
Yeah, what is going on here?
Not much. Order after.
I was in a cab that got hit and it went on in the street, and there were like cops standing there, and I was like, why isn't anybody helping? Like, uh-huh. Please help us out. Turns out they were extras for Law and Order, and they were just chilling there. And they were like,
they had to stay in their holding
area. We can get you some, like, water for craft services. And I was like, no, it's okay.
I was in a elevator in Richmond somewhere. I don't know what state it's in.
Oh, yes.
Virginia.
Okay. And I got into the elevator, and they were filming Lincoln nearby, and like a lot of the people that were playing slaves and indentured servants all like got into the elevator, and some of them had like these kind of like haircuts of the times and stuff, I guess. And I was like, oh my God, I just feel like so racist right now for some reason.
Just being in the elevator.
Yeah, and I was the only white guy. What are you guys up to? Yeah, and they're like, oh, we're just here. We're all working on Lincoln, right? And then it was just awkward because like, okay. I was like, well, wonder what roles they have in it. And it was like a way awkward elevator ride. Yeah, I couldn't even, because it was just weird. I mean, everybody seemed friendly, but it was just a really bizarre elevator
Mary
ride.
Todd. Yeah. Mary Todd. Mary Todd? Did you have that haircut?
No,
then?
I didn't have this haircut, dude. Okay. This is a gender.
Can we talk about this haircut?
Please.
This is a gender neutral haircut.
Okay. Pause. 1 point for you.
Thank you.
A good thing?
It's hilarious. Okay. Is the stance is hilarious.
Yeah, put it.
I didn't know if you're like filming a movie, like you're in character.
No.
Or just like your choice. Just your choice.
Yeah.
All right. I respect that.
Because what is it about the cut though? Because say if you see this cut on a hipster, do you ask him about it? Or is it because I have a southern accent that people think it's weird? Like that's the part that I think is kind of like, it's kind of like insensitive to really think that way.
I didn't even realize you had a southern accent.
Right.
I think you turned it on a little bit right now just for that point.
Yeah.
Is it because I have a southern accent?
Or maybe
that's
you guys
the only time I've ever heard your accent.
Or maybe you guys heard it more because we're discussing it now.
I didn't hear it in Lincoln.
Really?
I didn't hear the accent Lincoln. In Lincoln.
I was talking about an elevator ride full of potential slaves. Okay, guys?
There it is.
There it is. Okay.
Oh, look, I'm sorry I have it.
How long have you had this haircut?
Probably, I don't know. It's just been growing.
As hair tends to do.
So it's not a haircut. It's just been growing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a hairstyle.
I'm proud of you for having it.
How long have you guys had hairstyles?
I don't have a hairstyle.
You do, man.
No, it's just Jewish hair that just comes.
Really?
Yeah. And then I cut it sometimes at Floyd's.
Oh, I've been to Floyd's. Who do you see over there?
John? Whoever will see me.
In the valley?
I go to Santa Monica down.
I go to that one. Go see John. I'll see anybody who will see you.
Whoever sees
you. You're better than that.
Have some standards.
You don't just take whoever's next in line at fucking Floyd's. You ever get that British guy with that crazy, who looks like one of the Rugrats?
I know
rats?
Exactly who
the
you're talking about.
The guy with the mullet?
Yeah, well, no, this guy doesn't have a mullet.
I know exactly who you're talking about. All right, enough about the hair.
All right. Dude, I just got another one.
Another one of what?
Another loot crate.
Another STD?
Nope. I had, what did I have one time? Got rid of it. Chlamydia.
Really?
Did have it at one point. I can't remember. Oh, I remember. I was staying in an apartment. I had a roommate.
Are you going to say you got it from the sofa or something?
No. I got it from a human.
like a champ. And this girl came to see the place. I was moving out, so she was looking at my room, right? And she was cute, and I was like, oh, man, dude, I got to holler at this chick, right? But my roommate, who was staying in the place and who needed to rent the room, was like, dude, he knew what I was up to. He's like, do not try and hook up with this chick, bro. I was like, don't worry, I won't. And then that night we went out, and she came back to the place, and we hooked up there.
You got a nice parting gift.
And I got a parting gift, and she didn't take the room.
Oh.
Yeah, and he really thought she was
good. Maybe she knew what she was doing. Well, let's talk about Loot Crate, because it's a new month for Loot Crate.
Yeah, Loot Crate's awesome. Look, I get Loot Crate. We got it as a gift from Loot Crate, and now I'm also getting my own subscription to Loot Crate.
Dude. And I've noticed a lot of our fans have signed up and are really enjoying it. And so we love if you tweet us or you send us some pictures of you with your Loot Crate and things like that and tell us what you think. But it really is a lot of fun. I've genuinely went from a skeptic into someone who looks forward to getting the new Loot Crate each month.
Yeah, it's really great. If you're not familiar, it's a box that comes to you each month that's filled with like nostalgia, collectibles that have to do with like pop culture, movies from when you were young and things like now, like Guardians of the Galaxy or right. Star Wars.
Speaking of which, this month, the month of September, the new theme is robotic.
Ooh.
I got mine this month. It had some great robotic themed stuff that was around Star Wars, Star Trek, Aliens, and Blade Runner.
You know what? I didn't even open my latest one. I gave it to my friend who has a six-year-old son.
Oh.
Because that's the thing. It's like it can be for somebody our age or it can be for a kid. It's a great thing to have if you just think someone might be stopping by your house or if you have a kid who's in school and, you know, once a month you just want to have something nice to reward them with just randomly.
And there's so many different incarnations you can get, like loot pets, or you can get bigger versions of the boxes, or you can get, you know, like loot wear, which is different threads that you can get. And you have to do it by the 19th. 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific is the cutoff for that month. And you can specifically, we have our deal, which is if you go to lootcrate.com/allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y.
And enter our code Theo, T-H-E-O, you save 10% on any new subscription
10%.
Today.
Yeah, this is literally the best surprise that you know is coming each month.
Yep. So get one, get it for you, get it for somebody else. Just have it coming in. It's a great gift. I promise you, you'll love every moment of it. It's a great surprise.
Lootcrate.com/allegedly. Use code Theo for 10% off.
And now back to the show.
Angela.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. And we know you've got a special coming out, the fourth special.
Yeah.
On Epics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that comes out September 29th.
That's right. You're getting it all right so far.
Mahalo,
I like it.
And good night.
Yes.
And who did Mark Maron have one on Epics? I'm trying to think of some other comedians.
Epics is an interesting. Do they?
I know they've had specials.
Yeah.
I can't think of who else at the moment.
Okay.
Mark Richo? No. Maybe let's Google.
Let's Google.
Yeah,
I'm curious because they don't do a lot of them, but they have started doing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know I had another. I'm trying to think of who it was who had one. Another big comedian had it. I'm trying to think of who it was.
So what drew you there?
They wanted it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, they wanted me. So I was like, hey, I want you back.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
this
good.
Is your fourth one, right?
Yes.
How do you... Yeah, like how does it not get stale slash like how do you one up yourself, you know, because I would assume other than changing material, obviously,
right.
Jokes, like do you have to like bring out a tiger eventually or do something?
I think I don't try to one up myself is what it is that I just tell my stories and I have a pretty loyal fan base and I guess I just tell my stories and I'm observational in that. And I bring a lot of my personal experiences to it. So I just keep doing that. But as far as like the look of a special, I remember when I was doing my first one, I wanted it to be like the old specials that I saw where they had like an actual set. It looked like you walked onto a set of a TV show and it was like, this is this guy's house he grew up in right. And here's the backyard and whatever. And I was like, oh, I can't wait because I'm going to make mine look like my childhood home. And then they're like, no, it's not the style anymore. Just like clean, like a backdrop and some lights. And I'm like, how boring. But... You know who special I did like to... I know we're here to talk about mine. But I loved Rod's special, how it was filmed, Rod Carmichael. I thought it was so beautiful. And,
the one here?
No, I think it was in D.C. maybe, that Bo Burnham directed.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was HBO, I think. I'm not sure. But it was gorgeous. And I was like, yeah, this is beautiful. This is fun to look at. But I mean, I guess the whole point is to tell your jokes and your stories.
Yeah.
And it's not really too much about how artistic the camera angle can be.
Right.
So I just had to focus on that and be like, well, what's the best way that people can hear what I'm actually saying and see my face? Cause I act out a lot of stuff. Right. So let's do it that way.
Do you get nervous still when like going in front of people, A, or B, like doing something big, like a special?
I do get nervous for a special because it feels like there's so much on the line. Like, I hope this crowd is good. Like if I just go up at the club and they're not good, I'm like, I don't have to see you guys again.
Right.
And this show never has to be relived ever again.
Right.
But on a special, it's like I'm playing to this audience, but also for audience of potentially millions who are going to watch it. So I'm like, I'm going to bring my A game. I hope this crowd brings their A game. And then sometimes you get great ones and sometimes you don't. It's interesting because it's a theater as opposed to like an intimate comedy club. You know, like I feel more comfortable in comedy clubs, more casual. And that's another thing, too. I wear like jeans and tennies on the road and a hoodie. And then for this, like you try to like dress up more, but it's like a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even though I still wore jeans and some flat tennies, I was wearing like this jacket that I never wear a jacket when I perform. You know what I mean? So I was like a little bit like, this isn't really me, it is, but it isn't.
Did that feel uncomfortable while you're doing it? Because I mean, I think something like that can really, obviously not going to adjust your material, but can adjust how you feel.
Totally. And So I wanted to wear flats because of a certain bit that I was doing that was very active. And I'm like, I'm not going to wear, I've never worn heels to do stand up ever in my life. Like, I don't think I have. Maybe like at a
Sounds hectic.
Corporate or something.
I have worn maybe some lifts and something when I was like, if I had a bad back or something.
Right. Yeah, I get uncomfortable in heels or a dress or anything like that. I'm kind of tomboyish, I guess.
Now, do you like get it? So like when you say you don't get into political stuff, and I'm not going to ask you once about political stuff, but do you like get caught up in all like the feminist and feeling like left out and that kind of thing? Or have you just kind of felt like, you know, like you do your work and you keep cruising and that's that?
A little bit of both. I do just do my work and I focus on what's in front of me. But there are some times where I need to stop what I'm doing and I think to myself, should I be thinking bigger than this? Should I be, you know, because I'm telling my stories and then I'm like, wait, should I have a stronger point of view and talk about like women empowerment and stuff like that? And then I'm like, but I kind of just want to talk about this dumb thing my husband did.
Right.
So can I just do that?
Right.
So it's a little bit of both. I just do me, but at the same time, I do think about it like, okay, what else can I say that's maybe empowering or encouraging? And if it comes out organically, great, but I've never forced myself to like talk about a women's issue or anything.
Yeah.
Here's a question that a friend of mine who's a female comedian, Katie Hayes, asked, wanted me to ask you, and says, since when you initially did the nail salon bit, comedy has kind of changed since that started, or that bit, what was like 2007?
Seven.
Yeah. How do you think people would react to an Asian accent, someone doing an Asian accent or something like that now, if you just started that now?
If that joke came out today for the first time on YouTube, if I was on a talk show or a TV show, there would immediately be a campaign to get me fired.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so controversial now.
It's ridiculous.
You never
know
what you're going to do to offend someone. And it's unreal.
So that's why you're censoring yourself? Do you think you're comedy? Or do you have to?
I rarely censor myself in stand-up. I censor myself in my tweets. Because tweets, like when you're on Twitter, it's like whatever you think of in that moment, like real quick. And everything's happening so fast. So like if you want to chime in on something topical, it's like, oh, I thought something funny. Let me get it out there.
Yeah.
To be the first one to get it out there. Maybe it'll get some retweets or something. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
you
think about it all. But then now I think about, I'll sit and look at my tweet for like 20 minutes and be like, okay, who am I going to offend? do I need to change this one word to this word? Maybe if I phrase it this way, whatever. And then finally, sometimes I press send where I'm like, okay, here we go, send. Let's see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But even though I'm not too, like I said, I don't dive deep into politics, but there are some things where I'm like, all right, somebody's going to get upset with this.
But do you find that people, it's not even people who they are on social media, it's not even who they really are in real life? You know,
well, that's true.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing I noticed. It's like people will get people get offended on social media to appear offended. But then if you were to say the same thing in front of people, like and tell it in a joke and they can see that the context and everything, they wouldn't be offended at all.
Yeah.
It's almost baffling that there's any real validity sometimes to social media.
That's very true.
Because it doesn't.
Well,
it's the reality is we all know that it doesn't hold that much weight.
Katie also wanted me to ask, with the nail salon, do you feel pressure to have to do it every time or to
that's a good question.
Like it's like a great, like a singer who has to do their greatest hits.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Money's always got to play that song, Take Me Home Tonight.
In his falsetto voice.
I sat next to him on a plane one time and he used to do huffers where he would huff gas, you know, to get high.
Whoa.
And he hit a can of huff so
hard.
On
the plane?
No, he wasn't hitting it then, but he hit a can of huff so hard one of his legs shut down and never started back up, he said. But still a beautiful man. But anyway, back to Matt's question.
Your accent came out so strong when you said can of huff.
Oh, dude, a can of huff. That's a weekend, bro.
That's a vacation. Southern drug.
That's the original staycation right there, son.
To answer that question, yes. And I went through a phase where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this joke anymore. And it was less about me being tired of it because, yes, there was a part where I'm like, I'm more than this joke, you guys. I have other funny things to say. But I was listening to the wrong people. I was listening to the critics and the haters that were like, oh, she's still doing that joke.
Right.
Oh, that's all she has is that one joke, right? So I started listening to the wrong people. And I was like, I'm going to stop doing that joke because I felt like I had to prove myself to other comics. I had to prove myself to the industry. So I was like, okay, let me show everybody I don't have to do that joke. And I remember the first, and it might have been the only show that I didn't do that joke, and I purposely said, I'm not going to do that joke. I felt guilty, and I felt like, I just felt so bad afterwards, because I knew a lot of people came to my show because of that joke. Like, yes, they know I'm going to say other funny things, but this was their special thing that they have with their friend that they want to hear. Just like when you hear your favorite band play that one song, like it brings back so many memories and you're like so joyful in the moment, right? Exactly.
You have a real connection with that song.
No, you want to hear, like, you go to Eddie Money and he doesn't play that.
To Eddie Money? I'm not going to Eddie Money.
What is it about you going to Eddie Money? Some people are.
Okay.
And he just sits up there in his wheelchair and has showed you pictures of his naked wife that he just married. You've never met her.
This sounds a little personal.
We ain't got kind of crazy. But so you have and if he doesn't play Take Me Home Tonight,
that's a reasonable.
I would want to probably hear it.
I can see it on the other side too. Like, you think Paul McCartney wants to play this over and over, that song?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the question.
Like, I don't. It's not a joke I get excited to do all the way through. I'll tell you what I do get excited is, let me finish that one story. So after that show, this was at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, I got some Facebook messages from people that were like, we drove 3 hours to come see you, like a whole carload of girls. Like, they were so excited. And they're like, you didn't even do that joke. And it wasn't like they were like those like bold social media trolls being mean. They were just like, hey, like we're hurt, you know, like we're looking forward to this. And that's like, really special thing for us. We're really upset you didn't do it.
Like, now we all have to do it in the car ride home. Again, we've just been doing that on the way there. Yeah.
So it was after that where I was like, you know what? Screw that. I'm listening to the wrong people. I don't need to be listening to other comics or critics or haters or the industry. It's the people that are paying their hard-earned money to come and see me.
Amen.
That's who I perform for. So if they want to hear it, then I'm going to do it. So I literally do that joke every single show because they want it. And the way that I present it now is I talk about like what's happened since that joke and how that joke even started. And then I basically thank them for being my fans and paying their hard-earned money to come see me, and then I give them the joke like as a gift, this is for you. And as soon as I start it, it's like mayhem in there. They're going crazy. And so that's when I have fun with it, is just as soon as I say the very first line and they're all going nuts, like that's when it really like warms my heart. But then by like minute one, I'm like, oh my God, this joke is so long.
How about when it comes to...
Oh God. It's like a 4.5 minute joke.
When it comes to like a special, did you feel like you had to put it in this one?
Or I put it in my first one.
You put it in your first one. I know, but special. Like, do you think people watch the special and they want to see more?
No, I mean, I brought it back in my third special. I did the whole aftermath of this is what has happened since that joke. And I talk about how I learned the accent. So I wasn't doing the joke again, but I was giving them the accent in a different way. I was talking about how I learned it at this restaurant and my best friend and his mom would teach me. And and so I paint a different picture for him. And I'm like, now I'm in a restaurant doing the accent. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about this Vietnamese restaurant and the waitress. Like I was putting too much sauce in the bowl and she was getting mad at me. Be like, you put too much sauce. And so like I'm still like giving it to them, but not the exact same way.
Right.
So I did that for a few years. And but now I'm just at the point where I'm just giving the actual joke.
Right. So what can people expect from this new special?
Well, I talk a lot about my family and my life, my marriage.
Your family, your brother is right here with us.
Yeah, my brother's here. I talk about him in my first or my second one. I talk about my family all the time. And people ask me like, oh, you think they're upset? And I'm like, no. Anytime I brought my brother to my show, like he'll be in the green room hanging out when I used to do my joke about him. As soon as I start doing that joke, I could see him walk out from the green room. There he is. Like he wanted to see how people react to his joke or something. I don't know what it is. But yeah. And I used to do a lot of jokes about my dad being cheap because he's real frugal.
Now, like, why is that?
Real frugal. We grew up poor, so it's just poor mentality, I guess.
Well, yeah, and it's not even frugal at that point. It's just poor.
Yeah, but then now it's like you have the money, but for instance, like there's this one time we ordered a pizza, no delivery because that's a delivery charge, so he's going to go pick it up. We stop at the grocery store so that he can get a coupon for $3 off a large pizza, right? And the coupons are on the back of the receipt.
Right, so you have to
like,
buy something?
My dad's going to go buy something in the store just to save $3 on a coupon. Like, that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I watch my dad get out of the car, walk up to the grocery store where all the carts are.
Oh, no.
He didn't buy something.
Look through
them. He looked for somebody else's receipt on the ground.
Well, you know.
He goes, got one. I started walking back to the car.
They call them coupon homeless people. Uh-huh. Those are people
this
that are,
be
yeah.
Because I'm Jewish, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, my mom used
you
to
do
date,
what you gotta do.
My mom used to date a Jewish guy named Zolly Richburg, right?
Yes, Richburg.
And he would drive like 20 miles out of town to save 6 cents a gallon on gas. Yeah, but I respect
that's
it.
My
you
dad.
Know? Yeah,
my dad would do something like that.
All right. Well,
yeah. So I used
that.
To do a lot of jokes about him until this one time I was at a show. My dad was there, and you know, after the show, I was doing like meet and greet line merchandise and stuff. And so my dad came up to me and he gave me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, hey, hi, Dad." And some lady, some fan, she was standing like right by there. She saw it was my dad, and she goes, "Oh, so you're the cheapskate?"
No. Oh, wow. And his skate like a Rachel. Term?
Yeah.
Oh wow, what is it?
And I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. She was
about?
Just
no,
calling
cheapskate.
Him.
That's just like
oh,
a
cheapskate.
Term. Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought you said like skate or something. I don't know if that was a racial term.
Oh no.
Like,
sorry, that's what you said.
Cheapskate.
No, not a racial term.
Okay, cheapskate. Sorry.
Am I saying
skate.
It wrong?
Skate.
Cheapskate.
Yeah.
That's
cheapskate. How you say it, right?
Yeah, like somebody doesn't spend money. Yes.
Yeah.
Cheapskate.
Yeah. Like you're skating out cheaply.
Yes.
There you go.
There it is.
Like,
yeah.
Look at that guy on wheels saving his money. Yeah. Like that guy. Yeah.
There you go.
So she said that to him.
Wow.
And I could see my dad's face like drop a little bit, but he tried to play it off and he was just like, yeah, right? But I saw it. I saw him like get hurt by it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hey, lady, I could say it, not you.
Oh, but, wait, did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't approach her that way. It just in my mind, I felt it, and I was like, "Hey, I'm allowed to say it
because
that's my dad, and I'm saying everything out of love." But that was just rude.
Right.
So I started changing my material a little bit. Like, I wouldn't go so hard on my dad in my next, hours, but I still do talk about him, but I don't go in on him.
Yeah.
I used to go in.
Yeah. He's be in there. But I was on a syndicated radio show in Dallas a while back on the Kid Craddock show. It's like a morning show, right?
I interviewed on that show.
Yeah. And they have a great show.
So you
show.
Were with Kid Craddock before he passed away?
No, this was after he passed away. Kid Nation, whatever their show is after.
Oh, okay.
They have like four DJs that are in there now every morning, right?
Okay.
And it's like maybe one of the largest shows.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was syndicated where I thought it was just in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in there talking about, I have a family member that was an exotic dancer, and she learned in this small kind of strip club in our town. And the problem with the strip club
training.
In our town was the ceiling. The ceiling's low in it, so when you get on the stage, you have to duck down, right? Uh-huh. So all the strippers look like they're kind of like hiding.
Like
from something.
Scoliosis.
Yeah. You're like, what is this, a strip club or a spine center? You know. So I told that story, just thinking it's just a funny story.
Then
I get off stage and all my family's like, what are you saying all this stuff about our family?
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, oh. So,
yeah. I had it too. When I was on TMZ, I was on camera for many, many years on that. And I said something, just basically came out or like, I got texts afterwards, like from my mom saying like, what are you doing? Why are you saying this sort of stuff to the public? And I was like, I didn't realize I was saying it, and I don't see a problem with it.
Would you talk about being a gay man?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of my family members had not known.
Oh, no.
But
your mom knew.
Mom knew.
She was just like, why are you telling everyone?
I mean, everybody's got issues with it.
And they're like, Matt's not picky. He's gay.
Yeah. That explains the Bette Midler poster.
Look, here's the funny thing about Matt is one of the million things. His family didn't know that he was gay, even though he had a Bette Midler birthday cake when he was like 15 years old.
He had a Bette Midler 16, birthday cake.
Yeah.
For his,
do you have pictures of it?
Back at home, but I don't think I have any with me now. But
you should tweet them to her. She's very active on Twitter.
She left her sunglasses here one night.
No way.
Yeah, and I held them for a little while. I
do like this.
I breathed on them and washed it off.
She just came to hang out?
She came to watch comedy on her birthday, on her 97th birthday.
I hate you so much.
I think it was.
No, she's not.
She's not 97.
I thought she was Carol Burnett.
That's Betty White.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, and also, I had a dream the other night that Betty White's going to pass away this winter.
No.
Stop it.
I rebuke that.
Sorry.
Yeah, you did not have that dream. I had a poster of Pamela Anderson on my wall growing up.
Just to throw it off a little bit?
No, for a little, and then I put Bette Midler's head on it.
He made clothes and put him over, though. He was the only guy that made clothes and put him on.
No, I cut out Bette Midler's head from something.
You would design outfits and then
that's
the outfit
true.
On the
pan.
Why do you think that's so funny?
I don't think so. And one time he told his friends, like, who's that pretty lady? And they're like, that's Little Richard. And he's like,
No, not true.
Oh, he's Bulgarian. I'll tell you this story about this kid named
Bulgarian Marius?
Small Allen when I was growing up, right? This boy named Small Allen, and his family was, I think, Bulgarian or maybe...
I don't think his birth name was Small Allen?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
He was small. Think about a regular person, right?
Uh-huh.
Now make him small.
I got it.
And that's him. Not a little person.
I know what small means.
Okay.
I see him. Gotcha.
Not a little person. If you're thinking about a little person, you're just giving in to whatever... You're taking the easy way out.
Yeah. No, I see him.
Small Allen, regular
guy. Okay,
tell
me about Small Allen.
So his family was Bulgarian or something, right? Somewhere from far away. Slakadakia, someplace that went out of business, right?
Slakadakia. Yeah, there. On vacation there in the summers.
They were gypsies, right? They were gypsies, right? And his dad, this was back when you could have your, you could be nude around your family and you weren't necessarily a pedophile or a creep. You could just be a crazy guy.
Those were the days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right? Like the 80s,
Gotcha. Okay.
Dude, him and his brother could grab onto, this is going to sound a little bit perverse, but don't think of it like that. Just think about it like you're at a circus. Yeah, you're at a family circus.
Small
could grab onto the top of his father's nuts and wiener, right?
Wait.
And then pull his body up off the ground and hold himself off the ground, dude.
Wait, how did his dad feel during this?
His dad was like a, guy. You know, you just make that sound and Small Allen would grip on.
Grip on, son.
Yeah. No, his dad spoke like just sounds like rocks falling down a hill. It didn't even sound like anything.
You're really painting the picture here.
I like it. Oh my god!
And he could pull,
and he would do it in front of you, like you saw it happen
in front of everybody.
You saw it,
yeah, from behind, right?
Did it make you want to try?
From behind,
and then he could kind of peek around like the sides of his
booty?
Arms like this.
Wait, face to booty or face to
face
crotch?
To nuts?
Face to.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's small.
And was this a limp? Huh? Limp thing?
Yeah, limp, dude.
How do you hold on to the?
Huh?
How do you lift your
son?
What? No, what? I'm so confused. Okay, sorry. We passed the line. Okay, I got it. Okay. And wait, seeing this, did you ever want to take part?
No, I didn't feel like that.
You there? Did.
No.
I'm going to get tickets for me and Mario. This is my favorite scene from Hamilton.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
That is crazy.
Yeah, pretty wild.
And
man.
So they would do it like as a party trick.
Yeah,
like,
they were like circus people. The family used to be anyway. I don't know what they got
whatever
into.
Whatever happened to Small Island?
They did driveways after that. I don't know.
they did driveways after that.
They might have moved back to Eastern Europe.
I want to hear so many of your childhood stories.
Oh yeah. My God!
They might have moved back to Eastern Europe. They were gypsies. They did driveways and asphalt for a while after that.
Well, as gypsies do. Do you in your career do you run in like lanes with a lot of celebs like Kevin Hart's and people like that? And over your we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
You probably have some stories.
I know celebrities. I have a couple that I would consider like friends. Like, oh, this is my friend.
Right.
And then there's just celebrities that I know that I can reach out to and say, hey, how are you? You know?
Right.
But my friends, like my actual friends, like my best friends, Maya is a teacher. She teaches second grade. Penelope is a makeup artist and like teaches like fitness classes and a dancer.
Yeah.
You know, like
dancing.
Yeah. Like just regular. My sister works in insurance. Like she's one of my best friends. Like that's who I spend
regular
my time
people.
With.
Regular people.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to keep relationships with celebrities.
Yeah.
Not because of, it's just the nature of the beast of their lives and where it's centered and the people
Absolutely.
Around them and the like, schedules and things. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Absolutely. Their world changes a lot. They're always the center and then their world just kind of changes.
But you must
a lot.
Have some good stories.
I mean,
not
when
that
I
I'm
going to
make you tell, but.
I don't have too many like juicy gossipy stories. When I first moved here, I was, you know, trying to be an actress and it was like, get in where you fit in. And my friend was in a music video and the artist whose
video.
Is this
video, Usher? Is this an Usher
no,
story?
No, it wasn't Usher.
Okay.
The artist whose video she was in invited her and some of her girlfriends to go to his concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go with her to this concert. We're groupies. Total groupies backstage and we're just like dancing and having fun and there's this guy back there and he's like, hey, are you guys dancers? And I was like, yeah, we're dancers. And he's like, oh, I'm a producer.
Oh,
let me get your number if I ever need dancers, whatever. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is probably totally a line, but I still gave him my number anyways. I was like, yeah, sure, call me, whatever. So the next week, this guy calls me and he's like, hey, I'm putting together a party. I need some go-go dancers. Do you think you and your friends might be interested? And I was like, yeah, sure. When is it? How much does it pay? He's like, oh, okay, 150, you know, whatever. Okay, cool. Yeah, let me call some of my friends. He's like, okay, I need 6 people. He's like, okay, cool, got you. And then like right as we're about to hang up, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, it's Michael Jackson's birthday.
No.
Yes. And
wow.
I was like, Michael Jackson's birthday? And he's like, yeah, I need 6 people. Like, okay, bye. And I didn't call like my hottest friends.
Yeah.
I called the homies.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, who want to go to Michael Jackson's house? It wasn't even all girls. Like I called my friend Harry. He came.
Damn.
My friend Chuck came.
Well, you know.
My friend Angie. Like it was like half girls, half guys. But I just called the homies. He was like, I need 6 people. I was like, he didn't say girls. He said 6 people. So I called my homies. Like, who want to go to Michael Jackson's house? Who
wow.
want to get paid to dance at Michael Jackson's house? So then... couple weeks later, we're on this bus and they take us to Santa Barbara to Neverland Ranch.
Wow.
And we pull up and we're like, this is really happening. Like, we're really at Michael Jackson's house. And you see the whole gate and everything. And then they walk you in and like nobody could use their phones. Like, it was still the beginning of like camera phones,
yeah.
but nobody could use their phones or anything. Had to leave everything on the bus. we get on this little train. This little train takes us like all around his property to his Neverland Park where all the rides are and everything. And we get there. There's already these go-go dancers there. And so they were like, oh, I guess somebody else hired other dancers. So just enjoy the party.
Wow.
So we were at Michael Jackson's birthday party and at his Neverland Ranch.
You saw him?
Yes. So
no.
He didn't come out until like the very end. Like everybody was just enjoying the party without him. And what's crazy is like he had this whole like other separate house that was just his kids' like playhouse, and there was like arcades, like the kids' drawings were on there and stuff like that. And we're just walking through. We're like, this feels weird. We're in his kids' like playroom. With their drawings on the wall, right? So we're just walking around and stuff. And then we're in like the big outdoor tent where the actual party was. And then I could see like there's bouncers, big bouncers everywhere. And some people started like crowding by this one door. And so I asked the bouncer, I was like, what's going on? Like, why is everybody over here? And he goes, just stand by me. Wow. And I go, okay. So I stand by this bouncer guy, and then I see my friend Angie, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, just come stand by me. So me and Angie are standing right here, like next to this like bouncer guy. Like, we don't know what's about to happen, but he said, stand by me. So we're waiting here by him. Next thing you know, somebody on the microphone was like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the birthday boy, Michael Jackson. He comes walking right through this door and walks right in front of us. I'm not even joking when I say this. Have you ever seen those Michael Jackson documentaries where like the Asian girls in like Japan and China and Korea are like screaming, crying yes. and like convulsing when Michael Jackson is like in the building there?
Yeah.
We became those Asian girls.
No.
I'm not even joking.
Everything goes back to Vietnamese.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He walks in front of us. We start screaming, doing these fingers, sparkle fingers at him. We're crying, tears, actual tears are coming out. Like everybody's screaming and going crazy for him. So I think we're like feeding off everyone's energy.
Yeah,
the total crowd mentality, right? But we're crying, right? And we look at each other and we're both crying. And we both were like, why are we crying?
Wow.
We couldn't explain it. And she's like, I don't know. Why are we crying? I don't know. We could not explain the crazy phenomenon that happened when he walked by and we lost control of our bodies.
Wow.
Well, that's why he's unreal. The star that he was.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
And where did he go? He just walked off?
He like walked in, they sang happy birthday to him with a cake, and then he disappeared again. That was pretty much it.
Wow. Well, that's a good story.
Yeah. That's
Neverland Ranch.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
I thought it, that's crazy.
And I had just moved here. I moved here like 3 months before that. Unreal. So I was like, this is how it's going to be?
Wow.
And he died now. So we can't even go see him.
No.
What if we go tour the ranch? Do you know if we can?
I don't think so.
I think it got foreclosed and everything. Foreclosed, so I'm sure it's like weeds growing over it and stuff.
I'd still go.
We should Google image it. You know, from the satellites.
Oh, Google map it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love satellites and radar.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think those actually work? I see those signs like what, speed radars? Control by radar. Is it?
I think so.
You believe it?
Excuse me.
Yeah. I love radar, but I've always had kind of a love-hate relationship.
So,
I think that brings us to
So the conclusion points kind of
I
went by
give
the website.
You any points?
It's okay.
Oh, you didn't.
That means
let me give you one for Mario, just because I like the way you say it. That brings you to zero, and you get one.
Someone else that's okay. Because it should be Mario.
Yeah.
But
Mario, Luigi, and Mario. Mario and Luigi.
Mario and Luigi.
Mario. No.
Oh, Mario. So
okay.
Mario's very Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mario.
I went with Philly, not Jewish, but all right.
No, it's
go with
Jewish.
Mario.
Mario. Oh, that's very Janice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is Jewish?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I got it. Mario.
Mario.
Okay. All right. So you give me a point. So
yeah. So you
I'm
got back
zero,
up to zero.
And I'm at
Theo's
one.
At one.
So we have our final round, and it's a round. Matt and I will each present an idea to you, and then it's just a short competition, and you will tell us who won. And since, what can it be, Matt? Since you do accents, we could do an accent of something, a character that you create.
I don't do accents very well.
I don't either.
You are a former cheerleader.
Yeah.
Maybe we do cheers.
I could do a cheer in an accent.
A cheer in an accent. Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
Are you ready for that? Okay, I picked the accent.
Okay. Oh, no, no. This could end very badly.
We started the conversation talking about getting fired off of shows for, like, sensitive issues.
Oh, we'll be fine.
Oh, I have.
Your podcast is getting shut down after this.
I have been fired from shows for sensitive issues.
Okay, really? You give us the ethnicity and the situation.
This is going down a bad hole.
No, it isn't.
And I've been down many bad holes.
I bet you have, dude. You're flying one in from Australia. Let's go.
Okay. This topic, you guys need to do a cheer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
About... Mario.
Okay.
Oh, he would love this.
Okay, we're doing a cheer about Mario.
Okay, sounds Mario. Like a nice guy.
You said Mario.
In, because I'm saying it like you.
Oh, okay.
In,
let's just say British accent. Okay. Because that's going to be safe. You can butcher that, nobody's going to care.
That's true, that's very true. All right.
Who goes first?
It's a cheer.
Ooh. It's a cheer.
Okay, you go first since you know Mario and since you have been to Britain.
See, you said Mario too.
We're all saying it now.
We're saying it like you.
I don't know, I think you're really like, I think maybe I'm saying it right.
Just do the cheer, dude.
Okay, hold on, let me think. Mario! Wait,
now you say it like us.
I know, that was part of my thing, but that certainly wasn't British. I'm very confused right now with the way you pronounce Mario.
Do
and you have to say
cheer, you nutcase.
Okay. you go first.
All right. Okay.
In a British accent.
Okay. British accent, okay.
It's a good
All right, boys. Let's show them what. Let's fly Mario from Australia and hide in his butt.
Ooh.
Go team.
That's
pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Good day.
It's like you knew what I was going to say and you practiced it in the car on the way in. Like,
yeah,
how did you know that?
Oh, I don't know, friend.
Jolly-o. All right.
Do I have to give in 1 point increments?
No, just do when he's done, decide who wins.
Okay. Who's that?
Come on.
Hello.
You got
Who's that guy in the good scenario? Oh my God, that bloke is Mario. Mario. Mario.
Oh, I love you.
What? No.
You tried rhyming something with Mario.
That was the greatest ending ever.
I love that you, like, you ended it on, like, a...
Mario.
Like, Mario. The end of a commercial for a brand. Like
Mario Toasters.
Like L'Oreal.
Yeah.
Like, burn your buns.
I had a lot of trouble with that. Like, one. Scenario.
Smooth, clean.
Well, that's Mario.
Mario.
So, Angela. Yeah.
Okay. Listen.
The new Italian sports car, the Camaro.
Oh. Dang it. Listen, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I loved your style.
Okay.
I loved your smile.
Okay.
During it, you were very enthused about it. I could see you see Mario in your mind while you were doing it. So that was wonderful. While you're doing the cheer, not anything else.
But.
And Theo, yours was very good.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to say Theo won.
Thank you, Matt.
I wanted to give you like good, like uplifting encouragement before I told you you didn't win.
I could have used Barrio.
No, thank you, love.
Like, see what he lives in the Barrio. I didn't say that.
See what the Usher show.
You could have went there.
Yeah, or Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
So many things that you think of afterwards.
Yeah.
Are you that kind of person, like in an argument?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I never think of anything good in
I'm
arguments.
I'm horrible. I'm like,
Yeah, he's a third impression arguist.
Yeah.
He makes a good third impression when he argues.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
I think of, like, it takes me like 2 days.
Oh, yeah. And then I think of so many good things.
I'm like, damn it, why didn't I say
that? And then I'm like, I'm going to call my mom. I yell back at her. That's who most of my arguments are with. That's pretty much it.
Hilarious.
All right, so everybody, make sure to check out
Angela's
Mahalo and Goodnight.
Mahalo and Goodnight on September 29th on Epix.
That's
the
right.
The fourth special.
Yes.
Where we can expect a lot of talk about the family and the new house.
The new house. My massage therapist fell asleep on me. I talk about that.
Interesting.
A lot of just experiences.
Wait, your massage therapist fell asleep while giving you a massage?
I yes. Like that.
I'm very good at reverse relaxation.
Wow.
It's a gift.
Huh. Well, I can't wait to hear about that one.
Yeah.
That sounds like
a fun
scenario.
I can't wait to fall asleep while I'm hearing about it.
I hope you don't.
I know, I wouldn't at all.
And check out to see tour dates for, or not
Angela.
Tour dates, but dates.
Angela.com, ANJELAH.com. And I'm on all the socials as @AngelaJohnson.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks
yeah.
for
thank
coming
you.
In, Angela. I hope
thanks
you have fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for not picking me.
Thank you. Oh, sorry.
oh, yeah. The Vietnamese. I heard it.
Good day, mate.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me in the show. Next time I bring you the snack or something so good. This time I ran out the time. I don't have the time to bring something.
Fair enough. On that note, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.